we need fuel, don't we? And so I brought some fuel with me today and some of staff favorites, some of the staff favorite picks for fuel. Mountain Dew, anybody? Anybody like Mountain Dew? Nobody. There's a big old fat no over there. And any, how about this? Monster Energy. Anybody? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. I don't believe you're telling the truth. But anyway, and here's the new one. This is the new fancy one. Celsius. Anybody like that kind of thing? Oh, one at the back over there. Okay, if you don't like Celsius, then do you like this stuff? Java. Yeah. Okay. Come to me afterwards and I'll buy you one free. Nothing. Yeah. So, yeah, these are like favorite kind of energy drinks, the things that give us fuel. And there's lots of different energy drinks out lately that promise to give us a jolt of energy or a jolt of fuel. My name's Keith Arcombe, and I am your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you in the lobby afterwards. We're in week two of our series, Fire Starters. Last week, we looked at the heat, and we've got a fire triangle. In order for us to understand how to start a fire, there's three things that we need. Say them with me. Oxygen, heat, and fuel. Last week we talked about heat and how God brought the heat on Mount Carmel when the prophet Elijah stood up there and asked God to answer his prayer. God brought the heat and defied all the chemical reactions, putting water on the fuel. This week we're talking about fuel. How do we fuel our faith? What is it that's going to keep us going in the long run? How are we going to keep going? We always want these like fancy, great moments when God comes and brings the heat. But how are we going to keep fueled up in our faith for 2023? What's going to motivate us? What's going to keep us going? What is it that you have or you do in order to motivate your faith, in order to keep that flame burning? 30 years ago, I had a major heat moment when I met God. When I met God in the southwest of England in a little island place called Portland. It was a miserable place, colder than anything you've experienced today. Yeah, it was a miserable place where the Royal Navy trained for war. And in this place where we all trained for war, I met the Prince of Peace. I had a moment when I realized who God was. And right after that great moment of heat, when God showed me who he was, I met with some people, almost synonymous with my experience. I met with some people who showed me how to keep my faith fueled. Not long after the place in Portland, I went on my first ship. And I happened to meet a great leader who got together with 9 other Christians on a ship of 270 people. So as 9 people would meet together. And some of the things we did in order to fuel each other's faith is that we read devotions together. A devotion is like a small Bible passage with a bit of a commentary from somebody on it. And we talk about it and share about it, share about what we didn't understand. And we'd eat together, we'd share things together. We'd share with one another what it meant to actually experience the heat of God as well. And we not only shared food together, we had communion. Now and again, the guy who was the chaplain, he would come to the ship and share communion together. And we'd share communion together. We'd have the bread and wine together as we shared with one another. And we'd worship together, and worship at sea is a lot different than we do here. It was a small room, probably as small as the bathroom over there, but it's a small room where we got together, and people from all sorts of different denominations were in the room. I had a small box that had pre-planned hymns and choruses and songs in it. And if we wanted to sing, if we wanted to sing our God are helping ages past, we'd say number 231, 231. We click it and you press the little button. Poof. And we'd have a little intro, and then we'd all sing along to these little ding, 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 ding kind of thing. Everybody would sing. And we'd have worship together. I'd have killed for an iPhone back then, you know? It'd been really helpful. But we'd worship, and we'd have these things in common together. We had food together. And when we hit the wall, when we got alongside together, when we went to a foreign poor, people from different church communities would greet us and welcome us and have fellowship together in their homes and in their churches. And this is the kind of fuel that got us together. And we got a kind of a name for ourselves, these 9 people out of 270 that would meet on this warship in the middle of nowhere. People would call us different things like the God Squad, or the Jesus Freaks, or my favorite ones, the Devil Dodgers. Yeah. Kind of like that one. And we had a name for ourselves because we believed in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We believed in the Bible. We believed that Jesus died and rose again so that we might live. Amen? And this taught me early on what it meant to fuel my faith. This showed me way early on in my 30 years ago that these things were really important in order to fuel my faith. What about you? What is it that you are doing to fuel your faith? Now, we know that these things only last about 30 minutes, right? They don't really give us the fuel that we need for all the day. What is it that you're doing to fuel your faith? What are you reading? Maybe you made a promise to God this year that you were going to do something different. I'd like to think, because I have an ego, I'd like to think that what you hear every week for 25 minutes is enough to sustain your faith for the whole week. But it's not, is it? It's not, is it? What is it that you're doing in order to fuel that fire, to keep that fire going, to keep it ablaze? Well, the apostles in our New Testament showed us some of the things that are needed. We're in Acts chapter 2 today, Acts chapter 2 verses 42. If you've got your Bible with you, go there. 120 of them had gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, the celebration of the 50 days. And they gathered here and something massive happened. God brought the heat. And the 120 people that were praying then turned into 3,000. And actually, there was like fire on their head, says the scripture, as they experienced God in a brand new way. And this great event happened, and Peter preached his best sermon ever. He told them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, repent, realign, recant, and come and have a relationship with Christ. And they all were baptized, 3,000 of them. This great event happened, almost like Mount Carmel that we talked about last week. This great event happened. And what happened next? What was it that kept them fueled up? What was it that kept them fired up in their faith, in this new faith? Chapter 2, verse 42 is where we are. We're going to display it for you. If you've got your Bible, read it. Take some notes on your phone if you're there. It says, all the believers were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So we're going to stop right there. We're going to talk about the 4 pillars of the church. Some of the things that the apostles did that taught the 120, but the 3,000 people that were there on that day. This is what they did next to fuel their faith. Here's the 4 things. The first one is they devoted with what? Devoted to apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching was what we have in the 4 gospels before this, and what the apostles were teaching them through their interactions with Jesus as they were with them. The 11 taught them this, and they were devoted to the apostles' teaching about Jesus. That's the first thing. Absolutely devoted. That might be a start for 2023. Be devoted to reading the gospels. That might be a little start for you. So that's the first thing. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The next thing is they were devoted to fellowship. I don't know what words come up when you hear the word fellowship. Maybe it's like fellowship of the ring or something like that. But fellowship means a commonality, something that you are common with. And what I share with you, what you share with me, what we all share in here is the common fellowship of believing that Jesus Christ died and was risen and rose again. Amen? And you all believe that. And that's the reason we're all gathered in this room. That's our fellowship. We might not all get along, but we have fellowship because of that one thing. So, apostles teaching and to fellowship. And the next thing they have is that they shared in meals. Now, we're really good at this, right? Sharing meals together, right? We're really good at it. Some of these things we're not good at. Yeah, sharing meals we're probably pretty good at. Check, right? Not just in restaurants, but they actually had meals in each of their homes together. They shared together their meals and what they had in homes together. And the Lord's Supper. Don't forget the Lord's Supper, communion, what we did last week was a new thing. Yeah, they were used to sharing the Passover together, but now they shared the Lord's Supper. And they passed the bread around and the wine around to remember what Jesus said to them. So that was core to who they were. And then finally, not to forget, of course, prayer. Yeah, they adored Jesus together. They confessed their sins to one another and to Christ. They were thankful for what God had done in their life, and they gave their prayers, gave their requests, just like Pastor Kathy did, which she said, think of a name of a person. They gave their requests. They supplicated their requests to God. They prayed for each other. They prayed with each other, and so that God would come again. So they're the four main things, the four things, four major pillars of the church, what we have for our fuel. Seems a little boring. Seems like just like same old, it's just fuel. It's not like a jolt of energy. It's not like a mixture of sugars and things. It's just plain old fuel. It's the kind of things you have to do. What else are they doing? Verse 43, they had a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So the 3,000 were committed to the four pillars, and then the apostles actually were seeing miracles and signs and wonders. Why? Because they were in awe of God. They were in awe of what God was doing in their lives. They had a wonder about what they were seeing. They were awestruck with how God spoke to each of them personally. And this is really important foundations before we get to the next verse. And the next verses start to sound like some things that we should do or maybe should listen to. And all the believers, verse 44, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Now, we're just going to stop right there. Notice this came out of a deep sense of awe of who God was. This wasn't a requirement. It wasn't like if you became a follower of Jesus, they all said, hey, put your money in the middle just like everybody else because they're going to divvy it out around the rest of you. That's called communism, and that was not required. This was out of a deep sense of joy for what God had done in their lives. And they wanted to share that with those around them. In fact, they had land. The history tells us that some of the apostles had land and they sold that so that they could give it back to those in need. They had a deep sense of wonder that they wanted the other people with them to also have this deep sense of wonder too. That's why we give. That's why we give to those around us, as Pastor Kathy just mentioned. Others around us have less than ourselves. Those who are in need, those who are food poor, food and don't have enough food and money to feed themselves. We give so that others might know the wonder of God, amen? And you have provided that. You gave over the Christmas season and gave to that. Thank you so much. You understand that in order for your faith to impact you like it did the apostles, like it did for the new believers, it has to go from head to heart to pocket to wallet. And this is what was happening here. This wasn't a requirement to put your money in. It was a outwards from the heart. So they met together. They shared everything. And they worshiped together. Verse 45. They worshiped together at the Jewish temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I noticed this time reading the scriptures that they became so generous. They became so generous with what they've been given. It's like the power of Pentecost not only just changed their heart for a second, just for the energy drink second, but actually propelled them to be generous after that too. They met at the temple each day. Now, these were Jews. These were good Jews. They didn't move from being Jews all of a sudden when they had Pentecost, and they didn't stop being Jews all of a sudden and say, okay, now I listen to Chris Tomlin music or whatever it is, right? Didn't just become Christians overnight. They kept their Jewish practices. They went to the temple daily. They prayed 3 to 7 times a day, and they had their rites and their rotes, and they did what they normally did as good Jews who feared Yahweh. But they also met in the courtyard outside the temple together. They did their religious obligations, and then they met afterwards in the courtyard and in their homes. And they shared the Lord's Supper with anybody. I would add that actually to invite people into your home, especially for something to eat, you are actually being evangelistic. It's a major evangelistic tool. It's helping people understand who you are. This is me. This is who I am. This is who I am walking with Jesus. Come to my home and eat with me. And the new believers knew this really well. This was their fuel. And they shared their meals just a little bit. They shared their meals little by little. They shared their meals just sparingly. No, it says here, they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Often we think there's this great, like, secret sauce. We often think there's that this great pill we can take to fire ourselves up again. These Jewish people, these 3,000 people who experienced Christ in a new way, who experienced the Holy Spirit, in each of those 3,000 people, the Holy Spirit dwelled, and something new was going on. And the Jews hated people who followed the way. Their own people hated people who followed Jesus. And of course, the Romans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the followers of the way, the Christians. So, like, the Christians were doubly hated. They were called, like, the Bible bashers, the God squad, or the devil dodgers. These people were, but they knew the contentment of following Jesus, and they knew that they had to have their fuel to keep going. They knew that these were important ingredients. And the Lord added to their number daily. Why? Because it was winsome. It was joyful. It was generous. It didn't make me feel less than myself. William Barclay says, Christianity has a winsome attractiveness. Real Christianity is a lovely thing. Fuel's not always fun. It's not always like a great moment. It just keeps us going. It just keeps us moving along. Sometimes it's a rough sea. Sometimes it's just plain old sailing. But we know we need our fuel to keep this fire of our faith burning. It's not Pentecost every week. It's not Mount Carmel every week. John Wesley says that the normal means of grace and they're how we see God. Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message translation of the Bible, often says it's all about a long obedience in the same direction. In fact, he wrote a book called that, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Have you ever watched the coal fire and you see a white hot coal on top of the fire? And that white hot coal falls out of the fire and falls down on the hearth. What happens to the coal? Fizzles out. It goes from white to red, and then from red to black, and just fizzles out, and it's not hot anymore. The coal needs to stay in the fire that's burning in order to keep our own fires burning. It's almost like we're designed to stay in and amongst other hot coals who also want the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And this is not a condemnation lesson. I'm not making you feel, saying, oh, you're in shame because you're not keeping up with your Bible readings. I'm not making you feel guilty for not giving. I'm not saying, oh, there's some other things you should do. This is about a desire to keep your own fire growing. This is about a desire to say, oh, I want to be fueled up for 2023. I want to know the power and continue transformation power of Jesus Christ. I want to be dusty. If you were a Jew back in the time when the Acts of the Apostles was written and these guys were experiencing Pentecost, if you were a Jew and somebody walked up and said, and a rabbi walked up and said, hey, you, follow me. And you'd be like, yes, I get to follow this rabbi. I'm so excited to follow, I don't know, Rabbi Kathy. And you would follow that rabbi wherever they went. You would interact like the rabbi. You would go to the marketplace like the rabbi. You would talk to people like the rabbi. You would eat like him. You would walk behind him so close. And back then they didn't have asphalt and tarmac, and they didn't have shoes, they had sandals. And it was said that if you followed your rabbi so closely that you would get dusty, and that you would be covered in the dust of your rabbi. You would be covered and you would know all of his teaching, and you would know the ways that he was doing life. So the challenge today for you is, are you dusty? Are you being fueled up? Are you being aware of the power that God has for you available for 2023? Does your fire want to burn again? You see, energy drinks give us a small jolt, but the fuel of the fellowship of other believers, the fuel of worshiping together in community, of looking to the apostles' teaching and following in the gospels, of the fellowship of the believers, of having communion together and praying for and with one another. That is our fuel. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you provided people around us, Lord, to fuel our faith, to fuel our fire. Lord, we pray that we would have a concerted effort to read in the Gospels. We pray, Lord God, that we would be excited about the fuel, whether the seas are rough or seas are calm. Guide us, Lord, as we do this. Show us, Lord, how to get dusty once again. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said,